You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the newly minted Real Housewives of Salt Lake City Rehab Up. My name is Maggie Morgan, and I'm one of the co-hosts who is going to bring you along this great journey as we watch season two and get into all of the mess. With me today is my brilliant, amazing, talented, incredible co-host, Jacob Jones.
What's
How are you, Jacob?
Going on, Maggie? I am so excited to be here, first and foremost. And I'm just excited to get into this phenomenal show. I thought you were going to continue with just the accolades that you were giving me. But it's fine.
Next
it's
time
fine.
I will.
Okay, perfect. But yeah, I'm doing good. I'm excited for this. This is our first show. This is big. And so I'm excited.
It is big. It's really amazing, exciting. You know, I was the co-host of the Temptation Island podcast with the amazing Kirsten McInnes, but we are two like class of 2020ers. We're sort of,
yes,
you know, a year into this podcast game, but it's very exciting. Rob gave us the keys.
And, hopefully we don't run off like the highway or, you know, the winded road with it or anything like that. Hopefully we don't get arrested by this as well.
I was about to say, hopefully nobody goes to jail by that this podcast. Let's say a little prayer. But so thank you everyone so much for joining us today. Jacob and I decided that what we think we should do at the start of this podcast is sort of go over season one, just do a quick recap for everybody, tell you, you know, if you haven't watched the show, get you really acquainted with these women, sort of the storylines from last season coming into this season. And Jacob, you are like a huge Housewives fanatic. Yes.
I am a huge Housewife fanatic. I've been watching Housewives. I watch Beverly Hills Housewives. I watch Atlanta Housewives. I watch Jersey Housewives. Sometimes Orange County Housewives, sometimes New York, Potomac Housewives as well. Dallas was a complete travesty of a Housewives franchise. Miami Housewives, RIP, it went away. But yes, I am a huge Housewife fanatic, and I've been loving it for like so long. And I only follow people like on Instagram and Twitter and things like that I really avid love. And so I follow like people from Atlanta. I don't think I follow anyone from Salt Lake City. But yeah, and so I am like super pumped. And you're like a little, what we call you, like not a virgin, but like a noob.
A newbie, a real newbie. You know, I never watched the Housewives. Yeah, a noob. I never watched the Housewives really before last season of Salt Lake. My roommates were all watching it, and you know, it was quarantine. So I would sit down and watch it with them, and I was like, this is amazing. Like, what's going on here? Yeah. Like, how have I never gotten into this? You know, I'm really into competition reality shows, and I'm not super into like the Kardashians where they're just like walking around living their life. But this is like drama galore. It's wild. These women are performing. Like, they are truly performing. And I think that we're going to have such a great time talking about it.
I do too.
I can't wait.
I'm excited to like, hopefully like other Housewife franchises, and I'm excited to get you into those. And This is a whole lifestyle transformation for you.
Yes, I really believe it is. I think it's the start of something beautiful here for me.
Next thing we know, you're going to be at Mary Cosby's church.
Oh my God. Well, we'll get into that. Maybe we should actually start like going over these women and their storylines from last season, which I just found out. I have all of my roommates and I have a couple of friends who are like you, who love the Housewives, who follow everybody on social media. And they said that my friend Cameron told me that this show was originally not supposed to be Housewives. It was supposed to be a show about women who lived in Salt Lake City who owned their own business, which I thought was really interesting. And that makes sense that all of these women are such powerful business women who, you know, have so much going on for them, or so much seemingly going on for them. You know, maybe their business is frauding elderly people, but I thought that was so I felt like that was so interesting, because then you have the, I think that's the reason that you have all of these really smart, interesting, multifaceted women on the cast. Is this usually the way that the cast, like, is the cast usually as strong on different franchises?
Oh yeah, the cast on all the different franchises are like super dynamic. Typically it's women who just have something going for themselves, like or have like businesses, or just it's just like they're affluent in the area that they're in. So that's typically where we see the housewives succeed at, and kind of where we get most of the women. And most of the women, they come from, like, the housewife casting, I believe, to my best recollection, it starts off as one housewife. And then, like, they kind of, the producers spread that area with people who, the one housewife who they say, oh, this person would be a great fit for, you know, the show. Who else would you think would be a great fit? And that's actually how we have Heather on this season, because Lisa got talked to from the producers, and then Lisa gave Heather's information to the producers. And so that's kind of how that sort of thing went. And so, yeah, we typically get women like this, but Salt Lake City was actually announced at BravoCon back when BravoCon first happened, I believe in 2019, right before. So BravoCon is like where all the Bravo celebs, like all the Bravo celebrities, they go and they meet and they hang out. It's like this huge, like 3-day weekend festival of like, BravoCon. And so it's basically like, it's like a Comic-Con for Bravo addicts. So they see all their favorite, like, Real Housewives and, like, their shows, and they do, like, meet and greets, and the housewives can sell their fragrances or whatever they're selling. And then they do, like, oh, we're at this time, we're doing, like, a Real Housewife of Atlanta producers talk. Or at this time, we're doing a Real Housewives of New York. They're going to sit down and they're going to talk. And so it's like a 3-day festival weekend. If you're a Bravo-holic, then you get to see all your Bravo celebrities. And anyone that's on a Bravo show is called a Bravo celebrity. So, yeah.
Oh, I see. This is why I'm like learning so much already. I feel unqualified to be sort of on this podcast, even though I like rewatched and binged the whole first season to be able to give like a dynamic recap. Okay, we really should probably get to these women. So you brought up Mary, who we should probably start with. We met Mary in the premiere episode at Jen Shaw's huge party. Mary is famously married to her step grandfather.
Spicy. Yeah. It's a little rah rah rah.
Also, like, a bit concerning for me.
You think? Like,
I do feel bad for her. So a huge part of Mary's storyline last season is her war with Jen. Like, Jen and her do not get along. In the premiere episode, we see her and Jen fighting because she told Jen months ago when she saw her that she smelled like hospital. And Jen had just come from the hospital where her aunt had just gotten a double leg amputation. So there was like, this all happened in the premiere episode, which was just a lot, you know? But Mary is married to her step-grandfather, and apparently her grandmother, before she died, said that she wanted Mary to take over the church, to take her place, and to marry her husband. Which, you know, it obviously, people talking poorly about this is a huge source of pain for Mary, so I don't want to be insensitive. I just am always going to have a red flag up if there is any man who knew a woman as a child and was in a position of power over her, and then once she became of age, got into a relationship with her. That is all I will say. Okay. It seems as though they are happy. I do not want to, you know, add to any pain Mary may experience from judgments on her. And I actually don't, like, an 18-year age difference take it or leave it. Like, that really is not a big deal to me. It's just the dynamic of him knowing her as a child that makes me a bit worried. But how do you feel about
so
all of it,
I didn't. So that's a good take that you have, because I never really like thought about that. Honestly, I never thought about, dang, mm-hmm. like this was her step grandfather, saw her as a child growing up and now is married to her. Mm-hmm. I didn't see it like that, but I do see it, the kind of the twistedness of that now. But
yeah.
So when I first heard it was like when Salt Lake City first premiered, that was the preview clip of the whole season. It was like, that was the big news of Mary is married to her step grandfather. And I was like, ew. I mean, I was like, this is not like normal. But like, I guess, you know, her grandmother told her step grandfather and Mary that, hey, when I pass away, I want you to marry one of my girls because they will treat you right. And mm-hmm. Mary was the one to get the marriage. And even at the reunion, Andy asked her, well, shouldn't your mom been next? And then I think that's a sore spot with her mom and Mary now that yeah. she got the inheritance and that she got the man. But knowing that at the reunion last season, Mary got very emotional about the criticism of their relationship. And my heart was very soft towards her after that. But they don't sleep in the same bed. They haven't had sex in recent years. And so I feel bad for Mary. I truly do.
Me too.
Because I'm just like, first off, a girl and a guy need to get it in at some point. But I just like, I think they genuinely love each other. And I just think it's a business. It's like a business, I love you type of thing. But it's
well, another huge red flag for me, just as a woman watching this, a huge red flag for me is that when she was like, oh, we didn't have sex on our wedding night. Thank God. Like, thank God I was on my period and like, we didn't have sex for 2 weeks. Like, that is never a good sign. I feel that you're like, oh, thank God I didn't have to have sex with my husband on my wedding night. Like, I am a bit concerned for that woman then, you know, just, and like I said, like you said, I do think that the criticism of her marriage for a lot of people is really inappropriate. And we don't know the whole story. We have like a very, very limited picture of what's going on. And I think that a huge part of her storyline this season is going to be her opening up a lot more about this. But yes, so she is married to him and she inherited her grandma's church and she's the pastor there, which is where we meet her sort of in this episode.
She's and like the co-pat. Her and his name? Seniors? Patrick?
Robert Senior.
They co-lead the church. And actually, I want to put a point into this. Something I really respected and liked about Robert Senior at the reunion last season, Mary's wife, is that a lot of times people in the church, it depends on which denomination you're like a part of, but they oftentimes can be very dismissive and very, women are not allowed to reach this level of pastoral care in the church. And he said that, like, Mary is his equal in the church, and that's not as popular in a lot of other churches. And so I really like that he said that, and that made Mary cry. But yeah.
Yes, for sure. And so Mary last season was in a season-long battle with Jen Shaw. And Jen is, like, honestly, last season was sort of the main character, I feel, of the franchise and was causing all of the drama. She is married to Coach Sharif.
Yeah, Sharif.
Coach Shaw. And so she is married to him and he is the assistant football coach for a school in Utah, I believe.
I think Utah State or something like that.
Okay. And so he's gone all the time and she owned this huge house, which we come to find out this season she did not own. She was renting. And she would throw giant parties at the Shaw Chalet. And I mean, Jen is the definition of excess. Like every time you saw her, she has three or four different assistants. Every time you saw her, she's had her hair and makeup done. She's plastic surgeried all over. Like she is wearing dressed to the nines every single time you see her. You never see her in like sweats or anything like that on the show. And she was a huge source of drama last season. So she was fighting with Mary at the beginning and she was talking poorly about Meredith, one of the other housewives, and her marriage behind her back, spreading rumors, saying that, you know, she thought that Mary was seeing someone on the side. And all of this really came to a head at the end of the season when they all went to Vegas together and Jen, like, physically hit Heather, pointed in Whitney's face, you know, like, and then they all had a meeting about her. It was just really, really dark. So coming off of the reunion where everybody sort of was like, still sort of screw you, Jen.
Besides Lisa.
Yeah, except for Lisa, who was never close with her the whole season.
I have thoughts about Lisa, like, but I'll wait till we dive into this season.
Okay, yeah. But she, so she just was like, and I mean, I think that a recurring theme with Jen is that she drinks at these parties and she flies off the handle. There were several different parties. At one of them, she threw a glass. She just can't really control herself, it appears, when she is angry. And she got into a huge fight with her husband over like one of these incidents. And she just seemed like to be in a really lonely place where we left her at the end of season one coming into season two. Do you think that that's fair?
To a certain extent, I feel like her and Mary reconciled at the end of season one reunion. She had Lisa. Mm-hmm. Her and Heather weren't necessarily at the worst place. I feel like she was at a much worse place with... they were definitely not as close as friends as they were during the season, but I think it was still like love there. I feel like she had Lisa, she had her and Mary reconciled, not saying they were ever going to be best friends. And I feel like she had had there. So I don't necessarily like on a completely like isolated island, but I do think people like have problems with her that probably would not die down just by a conversation at the reunion.
Yeah, I feel like everybody just like has Jen's number and like knows what she's up to now. And she got away with a lot of really bad behavior last season. Like there were moments where I was like, this woman is so out of line talking about people's families, just spreading like it's, and it wasn't like fun gossip. It was sort of incendiary gossip. You know what I mean?
I don't know like, what that word means. Incendiary.
Just like really like dark, like not like well-meaning. Like it's just kind of gross. Yeah. So she, I think, obviously what we're going to get to, we'll save it for the season one episode, but Jen is a huge part of this upcoming season and the tabloids. Should we talk about Meredith next?
I love Meredith. Meredith is, I feel like Meredith came, she is rich. I mean, they're all very rich at this point. And I think a big storyline for Meredith was, her marriage, which was falling apart at that time. And her husband lived, I believe, in Ohio or somewhere like that. And he wasn't home that
good old Columbus, Ohio.
Good old Columbus, Ohio. And he did business. And Meredith, she owned I always up the word jewelry. I say jewelry instead of like, how do normal people pronunciate it? Like jewelry?
Jewelry.
I just say jewelry. She has a jewelry line.
That's how you know that you're from the South.
No, right. Yeah, jewelry. I also say drawer. Like, no, I say hurry up. I don't say hurry up. I say Harry up.
Harry up?
Yeah, Harry up.
Oh my gosh.
I know. I worked at summer camp and the kids were like, who's Harry? I was like, shut your ass up. Hey, Harry up. But so, and a lot of, I feel like her storyline last season was really focused on her marriage and focused on her issues with Jen as it came to be. Jen was, like Maggie said, gossiping about her marriage. And also, Meredith has a son named Brooks, and Brooks came into play the first season because he didn't have like, I guess him and Jen had a very like weird type of relationship and it turned into beef. And Meredith was like, don't talk about my family. Don't talk about my son. Don't talk about my marriage. And so I believe that was where she was kind of going, but leaving the season, she was good. I feel like with everyone except for Jen.
Except for Jen and her and Lisa, it seemed last season like they were the best of friends. And I'm going to be honest here, for the first three episodes that I watched when I first watched this, I could not tell Meredith and Lisa apart at all. They look so similar. The only difference, like the real, I think, stark difference is that Lisa always looks tacky and Meredith always looks classy. Meredith has like these piercing blue eyes, but other than that, they like really, really look the same. But Lisa and Meredith clearly have a really, really strong bond. And when everybody was gossiping about Meredith's marriage, Lisa was the only one who really stayed out of it. So after Vegas, when Jen blew up and Lisa is the only one who really reconciled with her, I do think that's going to be a huge storyline going in to this upcoming season.
Yeah, and we'll see that at the premiere too.
Yeah, should we talk about Lisa?
Go for it. You got it.
Okay. Okay, so Lisa owns a tequila brand. She's from New York City. Maybe she should send some to Rachel Riley.
I know, right?
But she, okay, so she's from New York City. She was born and raised Jewish, but she converted to Mormonism. And it's so interesting because in the Mormon faith, like, you're forbidden from drinking, and yet her family owns a tequila brand. So she does the type of Mormonism where she sort of makes her own rules because she believes that these man-made rules are not to be followed. Like, these are not the way that God and Jesus intended, which I actually really love and really prescribe to. Like, I think that her view on religion is incredibly amazing and healthy. But she has two sons, and she was really framed last season. She's married. She was really framed as the workaholic of the group. She couldn't take a second to stop. You know, her husband was asking her to stop, spend more time with the kids, and she just, like, couldn't bring herself to possibly do that. And she really, like, things really came to a head at the end of the season when everything happened in Vegas and she befriended Jen afterwards. She was the only one to reach out to Jen after the huge incident. And at the reunion, Whitney and Heather both came after her because they said that she thought that she was better than them and they felt like she was super stuck up. And apparently there was a lot of social media drama where fans were like, Heather, Lisa is so mean to you. And Heather was feeding into it and Lisa did not appreciate it. But give your thoughts on Lisa.
I'm not the biggest fan of Lisa. I don't subscribe to Lisa. I'm not a fan of Lisa. I am not a supporter of Lisa. I honestly think Lisa's annoying. I think Lisa's so annoying.
Oh my God. That's so funny, Jacob. When I was rewatching season one on Saturday, I literally, every time she would come up on the screen, I would be like, oh, shut up. Like, that's just how I feel about her. She's obnoxious.
No, like, no. I felt the exact same way. And I'm just like it's something I just can't, I don't know why. I just literally can't wrap my mind around, like, I don't feel like, I don't see the genuinity. Is that a word? Genuinity?
Mm-hmm. You don't feel that she's genuine.
Yes. But is genuinity not a word?
I don't think so.
Okay. I don't think that she's genuine.
We should have words with Jacob. We should have a segment at the end. At the end of every episode, it says words with Jacob.
Words with
and
Jacob.
We can subscribe to the dictionary of Jacob.
Yes, I'm going to say genuinity. And I didn't like, honestly, like, yeah, her and Meredith knew each other for a while, but I didn't see that really being genuine, honestly. Like, I didn't see, it was just hard for me to grasp that. I didn't like the way that she was, like, treated Heather and treated Whitney. Even when in the first season, her and Whitney got into it in the very first scene that we saw them both in, because Whitney gave criticism to some people that Lisa lended her for her vow renewal or wedding. What is it? When you get married again? A vow renewal. And she just took that really, like, so hard, like, this bitch better not say nothing else about my business. And I'm just like, homegirl, it's like, you, I feel like you would want to know if your people that you hire aren't doing the best job. And so I feel like she reaches a lot. I feel like she will latch onto the hottest thing. And I feel like I saw that last season I don't think Lisa's dumb worth a damn. I think she's very smart. And so I think she knows which person is getting the most camera time and which person is going to be that it girl of the season. Not saying Jen Shaw is the it girl of Salt Lake City. But I think she dubbed off her relationship with Meredith to go to a much more materialistic, higher friendship with Jen. And I just don't like that. And so, yeah, I mean, but she did come up with an iconic saying at the reunion. She said, Whitney and Heather, bad weather, tornado, they spin the truth, which I really thought was funny. So.
She, I feel like, you know, you said that she's not genuine, and I feel like there's just something so fake about her. Like, she's the type of person, like, if you're cool and you're trendy and you're hip, You don't have to tell people all the time how cool and trendy and hip you are. And I feel like always in her confessional, she would be like, I would never be caught dead wearing that. I'm from New York. I'm a New York girl. Like, I don't know if you knew this, but like, I'm not from Utah originally. I'm from New York.
But you've been in New York for 20 years.
Yeah, like you've been living, like, girl, I'm sorry, you're from Salt Lake. You're on, literally. If you were from New York, you would be on The Real Housewives of New York.
Yeah.
Like, you just would.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she, like, her and Heather do not get along because they both went to BYU and apparently knew each other from BYU, and Lisa acted as though she did not know Heather, which Heather did not
Do you think they knew each other? After everything that came out after the reunion, and even, like, Heather saying, I mean, Lisa showing the text message and said, like, oh, I'm excited to finally meet you, and then, like, Heather responded with, oh, same. And Lisa did refer Heather to the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. So, like, in college, and their beef also started because Lisa called Heather a good time girl and did the thing where girls show their hoo-has. Just like, you know, it's just like, hey, who want to see my...
Jacob, hoo-ha... Wait, hold on. Hoo-ha is usually the one that's lower.
Wait, hoo-ha is penis?
Is for women.
Oh, really?
Hoo-ha.
Wait.
I think you're talking about, like,
Lisa did not say Heather showed her hoo-ha. She said Lisa showed her ta-ta. That's better.
There you go.
That's better. Lisa showed her ta-tas. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. That's perfect.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. That is so funny.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
So we should go then to Heather, because I think Heather really came off last season as she sort of emerged as like the fan favorite of Salt Lake City. Heather was in a relationship. She was married to this man. She got married at 23, I believe, right out of BYU. She grew up Mormon. She thought she was like going to be the picture perfect Mormon girl. She has three daughters, and her husband left her 5 years ago. 5 years ago, maybe 3 years ago?
I don't remember dates.
I don't remember either, but it's fairly recent.
Yeah.
And it completely devastated her. I think that, you know, the entire ideal of what she thought that she, like this whole image in her head that she had of this perfect, amazing Mormon woman was completely shattered when her husband left, because in the Mormon faith, getting a divorce is so awful. And the other women are like, would you rather be miserable in a loveless marriage? And Heather was like, yes.
Yes.
Any day of the week. Like, it is worse. It is a punishment worse than death in the Mormon faith to get a divorce. Like, that's the way that at least that she speaks about it. And so her sort of journey last season was about, so she owns a place in Salt Lake City called Beauty Lab.
The Beauty Lab. Which is going to play
the Beauty Lab
into season two, baby.
Oh my gosh. So she owns Beauty Lab, which is a place where you go to get facials, you get injections done.
You get knee injections, you know, as well.
Yeah, Jen apparently wanted to get her knees done. Like, what is that? Yeah. What do you get done to your knees? Jar. Like, whatever. but so Heather sort of phrases it in the premiere episode as like Mormonism. Mormons believe that you can achieve the perfect ideal. And like, so plastic surgery falls right in line with that. So yeah. All of these Mormon women who live in Salt Lake City are coming to her like in droves, and she's built this business after her divorce from the ground up, and it's a multi-million dollar business now. And she's like become this really amazing, successful businesswoman. She's raising her three daughters. A huge part of last season is she's perhaps going to leave the Mormon church. She's not sure how she feels about it anymore. And her daughters are really accepting of that and sort of just want their mom to be happy. And I really got the sense that she is a mother who loves her children more than anything and is just trying to give them the best life that she possibly can and help them to become who they are, no matter what that means.
I agree with you. I like Heather. I really enjoy her last season. I thought she was fun. I thought she brung opinions. I thought she brung feistiness. And also she was the only one to get a DM from Rihanna. So, if that doesn't clearly tell you how much she's loved. And I like her outlook on life, even with her kids and parenting and how she was like, I mean, at the reunion, Mary's face like was like, but she said, I want my daughter going off to college. I want her to be that good time girl that, you know, I got accused of being, which I thought was so funny. She was like, I want them to have multiple partners. I want like, it was like, I want you to actually like live life and have fun and like, don't be constrained just because of, the, I'm about to say the moral religion, the Mormon, just the Mormon religion. And so I really like that. I like her outlook on life. I loved, her relationship with, her cousin. They met late in life by her cousin, Whitney. I mean, I just thought she was a good cast member last season and provided a lot of entertainment and called people out. And she was just a good time. She wasn't a good time girl. She was just a good time in a mood. Well,
maybe she will be a good time girl. I'm rooting for Whitney to become that good time girl that she wants to be.
She likes meaty meatballs. Meatball sticks. I said meaty meatballs. Yeah.
In every single party scene last season, she basically like held up a meatball and was like, and eating it. Like yes. Every single one, she just gravitated towards the meatballs. It's amazing.
She likes
Heather,
the meatballs.
Get your meatballs, girl.
We did see her going on like dates and like flirting with guys and stuff like that. And she's like down for the swirl. You know? Do you know what that means?
No, please explain.
I think it's like, well, Wendy Williams oftentimes says like, oh, you're like down for the swirl. I think that's when you're like, well, date outside of your race. Like, oh, she's like definitely interested in like the black men. And so she's like
down
for like the chocolate. She's down for the little Napoleon ice cream.
She has good taste. The guys that she was talking to last season, the ones that she liked, I thought were really handsome.
Besides that double date that her and Jen and that other guy went on. It was like,
yeah, well, she didn't like him though.
Yeah.
But
and I think she's very horny.
Yeah, which get yours, girl. Yeah. If I had been a Mormon and like suppressing any sexual urge my whole life, I also would be horny and wanting to get mine at the
literally
age that she's at.
Come on now. But yeah.
So the very last woman. Wow, Jacob, I feel like we really got through this pretty
good. We really did.
Good.
And we perfectly segued by the last person that we did because I introduced Whitney. Yes. Now she comes.
So the last woman who was a housewife last season is Whitney. And she is the cousin of Heather. She's 34. She owns a beauty company. It's like sort of facial oils.
Yes.
And she is married to a man 18 years her senior. She was a Mormon and she was married and she met her now husband while he was also married. It sounds as though they had an affair. She got pregnant and then they got a quick marriage. They married while she was pregnant with their oldest child. And they've been together for 10 years, I believe.
Wait,
nine or 10 years.
Did she get pregnant while she was still married to the other one? Or did she get pregnant outside of that?
I don't think so.
Okay. That would have been a damn story.
I don't think so because she said that she got married in like when she was like 6 months pregnant. She got married to her husband.
To her now husband.
Yes.
Okay.
So I believe that they got divorced. They each separated from their spouse, got divorced, got together, and then like got pregnant before they got
married. Hopefully it wasn't like 6 months later because the issue would have been, the seed would have been implanted and then she would have been walking out of the house pregnant. And then like 4 months before that, that would have been wild. But yeah, I like Whitney. I thought like Whitney's like so fun and so young, and I like, I love love in any way that you can also find love while also securing the bag. I'm here for it. And so I'm like, yo, you go for it, girl.
You know, and I think that her relationship with her husband is like the perfect example of like, yeah, they have a huge age difference. Sure, it probably did not start in the most, you know, honorable of ways. They were both committed to other people. Mm-hmm. But like, it just goes to show you should not judge people because they seem so genuinely in love and happy with one another. She seems so sweet. Like they really, and she, her, a huge storyline for her last season was about her father who had been addicted to prescription drugs. And it was about her journey with him trying to make sure that he got sober. And it was a huge struggle. And in the finale, you know, they had this like really amazing moment where he was in sober living and it was really, really looking great for him. And then at the reunion, she said she hadn't heard from him in like months.
Which is really sad.
Which is so sad. So I'm really hoping that, you know, things turn around for her father and we get to see more of that on this season. But, you know, the thing is, all of these women have like grand scandal that they've been through or are currently going through. You know, there's a lot of secrets that these women are keeping or they've felt a lot of like, I think that a huge theme of this group of women in this place where, you know, Mormonism is such a huge thing and a lot of these women are ex-Mormon is that like shame, like there's a lot of like these women trying to let go of any shame that they have. And I don't know if that's like a common theme amongst a lot of the housewives, but I felt like after watching, you know, the whole season in a day, on last Saturday, I was like, wow, you know, so much of this is about these women, like letting go of their shame, like being who they are and being unapologetic for it.
And I think that's like the purpose of Housewives. I mean, also we get the drama, but I think besides the drama, people love to see the self-growth, self-realization, the quote unquote sisterhood of it all, but still like, you know, the cattiness and the everything that's else like comes with Housewives as well. And so like all that cultivates to a phenomenal season. And I think that's what Salt Lake City provided. Like Salt Lake City was like, when it was first announced, people were like, what the hell? Like, why are we doing a housewife in Salt Lake City? And Andy Cohen, who's like the executive producer and also like that guy at Bravo, he like came out and like, yo, we have some dynamic women on this cast. Like y'all are going to love it. Season one was a hit. The reunion, this was the first time, a first time season got a 3-part reunion. It was so much scandal, so much juice to provide that content for them. And it was amazing. And they finished the season, I think, a week before quarantine and COVID big time hit. And so it's so crazy. Wow. It's literally so wild. And so I think we literally have a dynamic cast jumping into season two and a dynamic storyline. And even in real time, you know, it was a big scandal leading into season two that the cameras were rolling for. So I'm just like extremely excited for the women. Did an amazing job the first season and they're going to do an even better job this season because everyone is checked in. So sometimes last season, people were like they weren't engaged. They said, I'm disengaging. But this season,
some people, it's Meredith. It's Meredith, everybody.
She kept saying, I'm disengaging. She wasn't engaged. This season, episode one, the trailer for season two, Meredith is engaged. And like, I'm like, Meredith is not to be messed with. She is coming for everybody's asses. And I am alive.
She's coming for their hoo-has.
For the hoo-has. Yes. Wait, well, hoo-has. Like, she's coming for the hoo-has. And just one thing, don't mess with Meredith's family. But yes, these women were dynamic their first season and their second season, they're coming even hotter. So let's talk about it.
I love it. Okay. So now that we have like officially gone over, you know, where we left these women, let's talk about the first 5 minutes of this episode.
Wait. I want to talk about taglines.
Oh, yes, please.
So Housewives, each Housewife franchise like each season, they have these taglines that they say at the beginning of the episode. It's like a whole clip show of like them saying X, Y, and Z. Taglines are a big deal. They release the taglines before they release the trailer, before they release the photos. Like taglines are like I love you. So I have the taglines written down. And Maggie, actually, next episode, we should come up with our own like taglines and say episode.
Okay, I'm going to need help. Everybody, after this, please tweet me. Yes. Please tweet me. I'm going to need help. All you Bravo watchers.
So, Jen's tagline, and I want you to say, like, which one is your best. I'm about to read them all. I want you to say which one is your favorite. So, Jen's tagline is, the only thing I'm guilty of is being shy-mazing. That was hers, right? Mm-hmm. Whitney's tagline is, in a town full of beauty and beasts, there's only one wild rose. Which is a play on her new beauty company, Wild Rose. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was very clever. Lisa's tagline is, you don't have to like, I'm trying to do her voice, her monotone voice. You don't have to, okay, I'm just going to say it normal. You don't have to like me. I like myself for the both of us, which is cute, which is very Lisa.
Honestly, very self-aware.
Very much
like
so.
Playing into the character that she had last season, you know?
Yes. Our new housewife, Jenny. Is that how you pronounce her name? Jenny?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Jenny, her tagline is, I have plenty of everything, including opinions. Good.
Love. It's cute. As like someone who you don't know.
Yeah, it's cute. Meredith's tagline is, it is, I may be known for my ice, but I always bring the heat, which is a play on her. She does jewelry, mm-hmm. which is like the ice reference, but also she's kind of like mm-hmm. an ice box. Her first season, she was disengaged and she always brings the heat. Mary's tagline is, if you come for me, I will send Jesus after you. Iconic. It's iconic. Heather's tagline is, I was raised a Mormon, but now I'm raising a glass of champagne, which is very cute. So which one of those taglines are your favorite?
I mean, Mary's. Come on.
Really?
Mary is, yes, because Mary is my perfect reality television casting. I don't watch reality TV to watch people who I'd like would ever meet in real life.
Yeah.
I watch reality TV to find the people who are just... like where you, I want to watch TV and be like, where did they ever find this person? How on earth does this person exist? Where did they find them? Like Mary in the first season, like said that she had all of her sweat glands removed and like she was, that's why she hates the smell of hospital because it was such a traumatic experience. Like Mary is perfect reality television casting. And just to boldly and just proudly say, if you mess with me, I will send Jesus on your ass. Is that what she says?
No, she didn't say on that ass. She said, have her Mary cuss. Don't put ass in Mary mouth.
Sorry,
don't
sorry,
put no
sorry.
Ass in Mary mouth.
You're right. That's really unfair for me to do to her. Yeah.
But no, Mary said, if you come for me, I will send Jesus. I will send Jesus. She said, if you come
you
for
know
me.
She's not doing any of that, Jacob.
She's in a different bedroom.
They don't even sleep in the same bed. Right?
If you come for me, I will send Jesus after you. But my favorite one was Meredith. Like Meredith's tagline, I may be known for my ice, but I always bring the heat. I am like by the season trailer, I am like a Meredith fan. And I know we're about to get into the first 5 minutes of this episode, which was kind of the trailer leading into season two. And so I am pumped. I am pumped for it. I'm pumped for Meredith and her growth and her engagement and everything like that. And so, you want to get into season two?
Yes. Okay. So we should first address the elephant in the room, which is the first 5 minutes of this episode, which is that while they were filming in January of this past year, I believe.
I believe so. Yeah.
Yes. In January of this past year, it was announced that Jen Shaw was arrested by the feds for fraud, for money fraud. Jen Shaw and her first assistant, who we saw a whole lot of last year, named Stuart, They were both indicted on fraud.
Is that funny? But I'm like, wow.
I mean, it's not funny, but it's just like, what the hell? Like, how is this possible? And when we saw those photos of her leaving the police station with that hair, with that bag, with those shoes, to watch her get into the limo with these women to go on a ski trip, knowing that the FBI is about to come and arrest her, is just everything. And I will never forget getting sent that article from my friend and him saying, the cameras were rolling. The cameras were there. Like, you know, Andy Cohen is, when that happened, you know, Andy Cohen poured a whole glass of champagne for himself and everybody else in the office.
Well, this is the year, the era of housewife, cling, cling, jail, jail, clam, slam, you know, like literally three, like in the span of housewives, we had Teresa going to jail for something dealing with this sort of thing. We have Erica Jane, and Teresa's Real Housewives of New Jersey. We have Erica Jane that's actually right now going through it, and the cameras are filming and the season is coming on where she's going to something dealing with fraud. And now we have Jen Shaw. Like, and I honestly, if you know that you have sketchy business going on, please don't show your elaborate life. Please don't show your literally bags and plastic bags of, like, you know, every kind of purse that you can imagine, your house, big ass house. It's just like, if you know, you need to sit your ass at home, turn the TVs off, close the blinds, hide your kids, hide your husband, and run for the heel. You should not be on national television, because it's good for us to watch. But I feel bad if you eating mashed potatoes and you know, chicken that's not really seasoned in jail. You're just like looking, you know.
It's just so wild. It's so wild, and just shows you like how messed up these women are, that they're like, you know what's awesome? I am frauding elderly people out of their money and ruining their life so that I can act extravagant. And you know what would be even more awesome? I'm going to go on TV and flaunt it. Like, the level of narcissism that you have to have to do something like that. You're right. Like, you should just be happy that you're getting away with it. Shut the windows, shut the blinds, and like, go on your merry way.
Literally.
So it's so wild that this is how they open on the season, is the clip of them all getting into the car. Jen gets
not
that
all.
Call.
Meredith was in the helicopter. Joking, she wasn't. But it was in that clip. It was a helicopter going around. It was a police helicopter going around. But Meredith was on the bus, and nor was Mary. And so that's going to probably get into some issues later on.
So they get on the bus. They're dancing, whatever. Like, they're excited to go on this ski trip. They're at Beauty Lab, in the parking lot of Beauty Lab, Heather's business. Jen gets a call. Her face drops. She tells Whitney to turn off her microphone, which I watched an interview. I watched an interview with Whitney, and she was like, when she told me to turn off her microphone, I almost didn't, because we are never allowed to turn off our microphones. Like, that is not something that we do. She was like, but the look in her eye, she looked so upset. I thought that, like, for sure there was something very, very serious going on. So I turned off her microphone, and she disappears. And then it says 12 minutes later. They didn't even round up to 15 minutes later. They gave it 12 minutes later. The FBI is at Beauty Lab going through the limo.
We're looking for Jen Shaw. Literally.
Come on.
Face drop.
And all the women are like, are the police here?
Wait, guys, she may be on the run. Heather said, I'm like, sis, yes, it's not a problem at this point. It's like, hell yes. And then after the cops leave, they continue to drive to their trip. And then that's when, like, the news hit the tabloids, and Whitney checks her phone and said, Real Housewife of Salt Lake City is indicted for fraud. Yes. And then face drops.
Everyone. Huge gasp from everyone. Heather, head in hand, crying, like, What is going on? You see Jen with those box braids leaving the jail. Leaving the courthouse. Yeah. I think it was jail. I think she got bailed out of jail. And then they cut to, you know, 4 months earlier.
It was two months earlier.
And we see that Jen is, we open on Jen's new house.
Like the producers knew what they were doing when they were editing scene. Let's get the best shots of the house. Jen's house was beautiful. Like her house before was beautiful. Very lavish, very extra, very just like modern. It was if I go to Salt Lake City, which I have no reason to, but if I go there and want to live there, I would get a house like that. Like if I had the resources to. Beautiful. Like we saw her in the kitchen cutting up some vegetables or some fruit or whatever. And the views, the windows, the furniture, everything was tin.
It looks like, you know, a luxury ski house rent. Like that's really how beautiful it is. But I was shocked to see this because a huge part of her storyline last season is like the Shaw Chalet, this house where she throws parties for literally like 500 people.
Literally.
And I thought it was her house. I thought that she owned that house. Mm-hmm. For her to say that, you know, her lease ended and she's in a new house, and the new house is gorgeous, but it is a downgrade from last season.
Yeah. Size wise.
It's not as large. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not as large. So Lisa arrives and Jen is showing off every part of this home. She opens her, like, what was supposed to be a workout room, but she's using as her closet.
Yeah.
The Louis Vuitton.
She even said the movers came and they said they have never seen this much clothes.
I mean,
it's like literally sinking herself deeper and deeper and deeper into the grave.
It's just like, and knowing what you know and how she got that money, it's so disgusting. It's literally just really, really, really bad. But she is talking to Lisa. So Lisa is there in that scene and Lisa says that, or Lisa's asking her how she's doing. And Jen says that 6 months ago, her and Sharif almost got a divorce, which like, I can't believe that she admitted on national television.
Yeah, you can.
I don't know. Because the way that I saw them at the reunion, they seemed so close. I did not, that like, she seemed so self-aware.
Yeah.
I felt like this was the most self-aware I've ever seen Jen on this season.
Yeah. And she talked about like her, like just like life during COVID. And she even when talking about, you know, going possibly getting a divorce, she said that Sharif, he wanted the divorce and it was, I might get this confused, but it was over the things that she's already been doing. And then they show clips of her like fighting with people and being loud and like being like in a sense, I would say provoking people, just acting very irate at different moments. And she said like that attitude and that mindset and how she was, it like led into Sharif like saying like, hey, I want a divorce. And they've been married for 26 years and he's never uttered those words that says like, I'm leaving. And she was very shocked, but she said that the things that kind of led up to it was basically things that she was already doing. And I guess he just got fed up with it.
Mm-hmm. Seems like such a calming energy and a calming presence for her. And, you know, he's gone all the time because he's the assistant coach, which means that he doesn't have the clout to be like, no, I'm not leaving all the time.
Yeah.
He's the one who has to go and go recruiting. And he missed her father's funeral, which was a huge storyline and a huge point for them to have to get over. And, at the end of this conversation with Lisa, they're talking about how much they love each other. And, you know, Lisa's trying to reconcile Jen and Meredith and Jen is like, you know, I love you, Lisa, so much. Like, girl, you know, I'll go to jail for you.
No,
and I haven't gone to jail yet.
The foreshadowing in this, like, it was iconic. Iconic. Like,
how did they get her to say that?
Like, bad.
Like,
I'm spooked.
And this is what's going back to what you were saying. Like, if you are doing illegal things, do not put that into the universe, Jen Shaw. Do not.
I wrote that down. I was like, she really said this. Us knowing what we know now, two months, like earlier, you know, from the scene of her getting clink, clink, locked up, bang, bang. And her to say, oh, I would go to jail for you, Lisa. And I've never been to jail. Like, not that moment. Like, how did the producers get that? Like, that was perfect.
You know that Andy sent a bouquet of flowers to whatever editor was like, oh my God, she said this.
No, literally.
Like, are you kidding?
It was beautiful.
It's so, so good.
Yeah. And we got to see a highlight of Jen and Lisa's, like, I guess, blossoming relationship in that scene. And, you know, and then it led us to, like, Meredith's new house. It's like everybody got, like, Bravo checks cleared and more and more. They get paid very nice, like, as housewives. They get paid very nice. And so Meredith then has a new house, which, beautiful. Yes.
I mean, her house is so unbelievably, the view is out of this world. Jen's house is gorgeous, but it looks like Jen's house is gorgeous in the way of like, it looks like a, like I said, like a ski resort, but Meredith's house is so clean
and it
just looks so expensive. Everything about Meredith like drips like expense,
like elegance, her clothing. Like,
She's just so, so beautiful and, like you said, elegant. And she said that, you know, she wanted a fresh start for her and her husband. And they are now with each other, like, half the time, which she's really excited about. Like, and things have been going really good for them. And Heather's there and they're just sort of chatting. It's so funny, like, all of these, like, clearly staged scenes.
I know.
Where they're like, okay, you're going to go over there and you're going to sort of talk about,
you know, how they do that, right? It's like, to best of my knowledge, they all get, like, at the beginning of the week, they get a filming sheet and then it says, like, who's going to film where and what location. And so that's how, like, all the, like, matching up happens, which, you know, very scheduled, very, like, blah, 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 boom. But, like, in Whitney, I always get Whitney and Heather confused as I get Meredith and Lisa confused. So I have to, that would be like a theme, like the blonde and the brunette. But one thing I really liked about Heather, like, she was like, she came in her ski outfit because she just got done skiing, which I thought was like so crazy, but I forgot they were in Utah and Salt Lake City. We're like, that's common. I'm just imagining someone coming to my house in Austin, Texas, like with the ski stuff already on. I guess that would be equivalent to someone like in their jogging outfit or a running outfit or something like that.
Or like a bathing suit.
Or like a bathing suit.
Just in the pool.
Honestly, it's just a pool.
I think that also the thing that like is so, the reason that so many of these people love Heather is that like she is not crazy into the excess. Like she's going to come in her expensive coat, but not, you know, she's not in a mink fur coat, you know, walking in, wearing every single diamond that she owns. Like she's coming in after skiing. Like she looks like, you know, she could be walking next to you, like in the grocery store and you wouldn't be like, who is this person? She's very relatable in that way.
Yeah.
And she's just sort of talking to Meredith about, you know, her daughter and how she's going to be going to college soon. And they sort of talk about that.
And that's when she says, I want my girl to be like the good time, quote unquote, good time girl that I was accused I was, which I really liked. And did you see the dog on the kitchen table? All fours.
I never, ever disgusted in my house would a dog. Especially because like her house is so expensive.
I know.
Like, what is going on?
But I bet the paws of the dogs were nasty though, because they're coming from Meredith. So I don't think the paws of the dogs were nasty.
It does not matter. It's a dog.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So then we move to Mary, and Mary, before Mary, we see Whitney. So Whitney yes. is at her house and she's planning a birthday party for her husband's children, which is really good. I think it's a huge step for them because she said that he was estranged last season from his family due to their relationship. So very clearly, like, the show maybe has mended some fences with them because they could probably see, you know, how lovely Whitney and her husband are. But the stepsons arrive. They're literally like less than 10 years age difference with her. She's 34.
I have the ages here. They were, yeah. I have 20, is that 24 or 29? And then I have 24 or 29. I can't see. 26, 29. 20, okay, 29, 26, and 23. And Whitney is 34.
So she's 5 years older than his eldest son.
And did, okay, so I noticed, so when they first came in, like, Whitney had this bathing suit on. And then as they took the shot, she put on her hoodie. And I thought that was I was like, wait, because these guys, they could be like, yo, this could be my girl. And they could be like looking at her and like all these other things. And I feel like, let her put, and the sweat jumpsuit that she had on was Brooks, Meredith's son's jumpsuit, if you paid attention.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
It was Brooks.
But they take shots. They're having a good time. She gets, I'm pretty sure, blackout drunk and drops her stepson's birthday cake three times, twice in the hallway. And then once outside. Like, I have been to that level. I went to college, everybody, and I was fun. But like, you have to be truly almost blackout drunk to do that three times.
So it was so funny to see every time the cake got put back onto the platter, it got messier and messier and messier. Yes. And after the first drop, she then tried to relight it and then dropped it again. And then it was just this ball of stuff. And then when she went outside, like, oh, do, I have your cake. And the cake dropped again. And the dog was like licking it up. I thought it was the fun. Did they end up eating it, or was the last drop it for it?
No, the candles were like all broken.
Okay. They could have did the 10 second rule. They could have did the 10 second rule though.
But it would have been like 3 minutes. Like, literally, she scooped it up with her hands from the floor, and it like fell the first time. It fell on like the shoe mat in the back. Like, you know that that's disgusting.
No, you're right. True. But she was blacked out. It was so funny because I feel like everyone there
She's so cute.
But when she brought out the cake, everyone's face was like, "What? What happened in there? It was a massacre." But it was really cute, honestly.
She's lovely. And then we move on to Mary, who is recording a podcast. But it is called Talking Facts with Mary Cosby. But this podcast does not exist. It was looked up on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You know, Talking Facts with Mary Cosby is not a real podcast out there. I would like it to be. I would like to listen to an episode. But I don't know. This was clearly just a segment for the show.
I feel like you're trying to play my sis Mary. It could be a Facebook exclusive. I don't know. But
maybe it's a patron cast. You're right. Maybe it is a patron cast.
Maybe. Exactly. That's how to play my sis Mary. But Mary introducing herself into this scene was basically saying how she spent basically the entire duration of COVID by herself. Why are you laughing?
I'm sorry. I thought that you were going to say how she... I left because I thought you were going to say how she put herself into entered the podcast, because the way that she introduced herself on the podcast was, "Hello, everyone out there. This is Mary's podcast," which is why Mary is perfect. She's perfect.
No, Mary is amazing. But she introduced herself to like that scene of like, she during COVID, she was by herself for like 6 months, and she had her son. But she was like, I mean, he's a teenager, X, Y, and Z, because Robert Sr. was he was somewhere because he didn't want to travel
because Florida.
That's where everyone goes, you know, of that age. They go to Florida. But he didn't want to travel because of COVID. She was like, I was talking to myself. I was talking to my mannequins. I was talking to my shoes. I was talking to my belts. I was talking to everyone. I was talking to myself. And then she was like, why not just create a podcast? And this podcast, I wish could hit and bless and graze and breathe on my ears, because just the beginning of this podcast. So she had two other guys there, and I'm assuming they were like probably deacons of the church or just some affiliation with the church that Mary has, right? So Mary also, she wanted to start off the podcast with a prayer. Now, I don't know this gentleman's name. But when I say this scene could not have been more iconic. Okay, so this is how it happened. So Mary was like, hey, can you open us up with prayer? The guy was praying and he got very much like more like, you know, just like in the spirit, as you would call it. Like, oh God, help me with this. Oh God. You know, it was very like loud, very like, oh no, no, no. And then Mary literally mid prayer said, hold on, hold on. She said, she stopped this man mid prayer and said, you don't got to do all that. Let me show you how to do it. And then she went into her own prayer. I can just like imagine you shushing someone about prayer. Imagine. But it's only Mary. It's only Mary who can do that.
Like the stuff also in like the podcast studio, like it's clearly a bathroom at the church. There's a painting of her grandmother, Dr. Mary Cosby, and Jesus.
Yes.
And the little tagline underneath this is Dr. Mary Cosby, and then like it added a little sound. It said, "And Jesus." Like I need that in my home. Like this is just, she is so iconic. She's perfect casting.
Literally,
I love Mary. She apparently wasn't even supposed to be back. Like she wasn't supposed to. Yeah, they were not going to use her the whole time. She was just going to be like a friend of the housewives. And then everybody became so obsessed with her that they renewed her for season two.
Wow. That's like, I guess I can see that because even in the alignment of the cast photos, once they open up with the snowflakes, she's the last one. They're kind of like, Heather's in the middle, and then Jen and Whitney are on the both sides of her, and then Mary is all the way in the back. And so I can kind of see like, okay, like the little, and she was the last seat at the reunion. And so that's a big deal. The seating arrangements at the reunion, Maggie, it's profound because the most important people of the cast sit closest to Andy, and then it works his way out. And so I can kind of see how Mary was like kind of, in a sense, disposable until they saw the audience reaction.
Yes, yes.
That's so wild.
It's just so good. She's so perfect. I like can't wait for everything that's going to happen this season. But so then we meet Jenny, who's the new housewife. And she has known Lisa for 10 years. Their sons are the same age and they met in school. She left Vietnam when she came here when she was 7. But her father actually lowered her age to be 2 years younger. So that she could go to kindergarten here, which is so smart of him. She was in a Thai refugee camp, and then she was sponsored by a Christian church. So she is Catholic. Mm-hmm. She's married to a chiropractor, and they've been married for 14 years. How do you pronounce his name?
Dewey. That's what I have. I spelled it out. Yeah. It's spelled D-U-Y. I just oftentimes heard it as Dewey.
Okay. Yeah. They've been married for 14 years. She just seems super fun and lively. And I think she's going to bring like a fun firecracker energy to everybody because it seems like she's not afraid to just say what she thinks.
No. And I even loved how she described her husband and like when, like early on in their relationship, we're not even in a relationship yet. She said, when I first saw him, I was like, oh, your body, everything neck below is on fire, but everything neck above is like, oh, it can use a little work.
I'm
like,
he's handsome. I think he's handsome.
I'm like, how can you even say that? Like, even still, like, umpteenth years later, I don't think I could ever utter those words out about a person that I'm with and have children with.
I think he, like, might be one of the more handsome husbands out of the group. Like, funny and ridiculous. Sharif is very handsome.
Okay. Oh, you're down with the swirl.
I think he's very handsome.
You're down with the swirl.
Sure, I guess, yeah. I think he's very handsome. And I think that I don't know what goes on in the house if he's dealing with Jen, but he just seems like a really calm, you know, calming presence. I think Meredith's husband is pretty attractive too. I think that those are probably my two. Seth.
Oh, Seth, that, yeah.
Yeah. Those are probably my two. What about you? Who do you think is the most handsome husband?
Robert Sr. Robert Sr. Robert Sr. Robert Sr. Robert Sr. Robert Sr.
Are you serious?
What do you think?
You said Robert. Are you being serious about Robert Sr.? Are you being dead serious?
Right. Anything that Mary touches becomes 10 times more profound to me.
Wow. Okay. Well, we have to move on from this. We have to.
That's so funny.
we get a quick scene at Jen's place.
Wait, if you see Robert Sr., you would know I was joking. I'm not serious about that. Okay, but
that's why I said we should move along. So we have like a quick little scene at Jen's place that just to show her like that her family is on the mend. You know, like they're all getting together. The aunt who lost her legs arrives. Nani, yes. The aunt who uttered, you know, who spawned the hospital smell fight.
Wait,
but
why did Jen say, do you have your bionic legs on? I'm like, what kind of statement was that? Because I'm sure the aunt would not like to have shown her legs on camera. You know what I mean? Like, this is a nationally shown show. And I'm just like, you really say, let's see your, and then they pulled up the dress to see her legs. I'm like, oh, God, no.
It's just Jen. It was I think just a scene to establish that like things are on the mend for her, you know, not much more to report other than the fact that she like almost didn't know her son's age, which I thought was super odd, but all right, Jen.
You think that's like odd? She had to fraud a lot of people allegedly. But I think like a lot of parents don't know their kids yet. Or they oftentimes like once they get up there, like 27 and like, oh, 26, 27. Like, I mean, I come from three other siblings and my mom sometimes calls me my brother's name. And so it's a little bit of both, I feel, you know, so.
All right. Yeah. I guess that's fair. So then from there, we get this scene where, there are four of the ladies at lunch, Whitney, Heather, Meredith, and Mary. And,
love this crew.
Me too. It's super fun. Meredith shares with all the women that her father has passed away, which is really, you know, so sad for her. And you can tell that she's very torn up about it. And we found out at the reunion last year that Heather and Mary had just also recently lost their fathers. So all of the women are really bonding over this. And you know, Heather, they're all just sort of like bitching about Jen, right? Yes. This becomes just sort of like a Jen, like gossip.
Oh my gosh.
Fest. Heather is upset that Jen is reposting things saying that Heather is racist or racially insensitive. Mm-hmm. And Meredith is upset because Jen has been liking and reposting things about her son Brooks.
Yeah.
And, you know, she says that she's very upset that Jen has been talking about Brooks' sexuality. Mm-hmm. And Brooks has not come out. Like, Brooks has not said what his sexuality is.
Which way he goes.
But, you know, Jen, like, reposted a comment or, like, said that Brooks has never even seen a vagina in real life. Mm-hmm. Because one of the big storylines last season is that Jen like showed her vagina on accident to Brooks. So when she, you know, was on Watch What Happens Live, she was like, well, it's probably the first vagina Brooks has ever seen, which like is very inappropriate to say about Meredith's son.
Yes.
And then she also like commented like 100% to all of this on a post about Brooks that called him a privileged twink.
No, it's not funny. It's not funny. But it's just like Jen, the fact that Jen would like that is like so like outrageous. Yes. And like,
and that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Like Jen is just like, Jen just needs to get a grip.
She honestly, like I think children should, in every case, should be left alone with like, but this is a common theme with housewives sometimes. Like kids will be brought up in it. Like it'll be like, if you're beefing with, you know, one of the wives and their like daughter does something publicly, you may be like, oh, well, it was one time. It was like, oh, like your whole daughter on one of the seasons. And then it was like, oh, you know what I mean? Like,
my gosh,
but then
yeah,
it was like, and so children like need to be left alone. But even though Brooks has like said certain things about Jen and that's her like, oh, this is, if he's here, and I believe Brooks is like 21 or something.
Mm-hmm, he's 21.
He's of age to, he's a grown up. So he's not like a, like a 15 defenseless child, but I do think he isn't like a housewife and he's not getting paid to be on this show or really exhibit his life. And so his life should be not included into your digs on Meredith, or just like if he made a snide remark, just count it off as like, this is a kid making this remark. And
yes, of course. And like, obviously, you know, that like they point out, like Lisa points out, like Jen was probably really embarrassed that Brooks on national television said that he saw her vagina. But if that's the truth, you showed your vagina to this woman's son. Like, you know, instead of going on the attack and like calling, liking posts that call him a twink, maybe you should apologize to him and be like, that was so inappropriate. Yikes. And maybe take a look at your behavior and wear some underwear next time, Jen.
Not underwear. Well, hey, if I mean, you don't. Well, this may be an intimate question. I think this is an intimate question.
Maybe we shouldn't talk about this on the pod, Jacob. You can ask me after.
Because I was going to ask how, like, what women do with, like, I just remember, like, some shows, people were like, oh, yeah, I don't have underwear on. So I was like, is it a common thing where, like, women don't have, don't answer. But yeah, so it was like that whole bit. But I do hear about that, just, like, walking down the street, like, oh, yeah, not walking down the street, no. But, like, what on TV and things like that.
What I will say about all of this, if I ever found myself in a situation where I was not wearing underwear, which I'm not really one of those girls, I would not wear underwear if I was wearing a dress, first off.
She did have a dress on. Yeah.
But second of all, if I was somehow not wearing underwear and I was wearing a dress, I would not kick my legs up, especially around somebody else's child. Like, there's like a lot of steps to get there.
Yeah.
This is not an innocent, like, I'm getting out of a car or like accidents happen. You walked in on me in the bathroom. Like, this is like, there are like multiple steps for Brooks to see that vagina that did not need to happen. You know?
I know, Chai. And then just like the social media havoc of it all went too far. Mm-hmm. And then they got into the conversation about Alisa and Meredith's relationship, because the other girls, Heather, Whitney, and Mary, think like, hey, like, do you think Lisa's being a good friend to you by being friends with someone that has made remarks about your children and that has talked about your marriage? And again, as we go back to last season, how Meredith and Lisa were like known each other for 10 years or however long, and then we're like best friends. Mm-hmm. And now coming to this season, how Lisa is more on the Jen train, and less on the Meredith train when Jen has made remarks about Meredith's family. Mm-hmm. And so they got into that whole dichotomy, and Meredith isn't that big of a fan of Lisa that she's siding with, or not siding with, but that she's like still remaining friends with Jen. So it gets a little dicey in there as well.
I think that Meredith is just like a really mature person. Like, out of all the housewives, she's clearly incredibly mature, and like, she's able to be like, Jen is like clearly in a messed up place. Mm-hmm. Like, if she needs a friend, that's fine. She just should not come anywhere near me.
Yeah.
Like, and I think that is like really big of her. And then the final scene of the episode, Meredith has invited Lisa over. She's doing like a traditional Jewish celebration. Like, her son is making challah. And they invite Lisa over because she, you know, is still very upset about losing her father. And Meredith and Lisa get into it. They get into a
fight at family dinner. Like, it was, they were on the couch, but you saw in the background, the kids were still on the bar, like on the counter. And I was like,
and Lisa's kids are young. One of her children is 9.
Yeah.
Like, also Meredith's outfit in the scene with the sleeves.
I don't remember.
Oh my God. My friend in my group chat, the black and white. My friends in the group chat were going off. They were like, I need that top. Where is it?
Meredith is a very cute crier.
Yeah, she is. She's a beautiful crier. She's just a beautiful woman.
She's one of the sexiest like housewives. Like, I've seen, like, it's very like aesthetically like beautiful. Uh-huh. Like, Lisa's gorgeous as well.
They do.
They're twins.
The styling is very different, though. Lisa would never, ever wear that top that Meredith was wearing. And also, Meredith, in one of her confessionals, was wearing that hot pink top with the feathers, with the high pony.
Well, yeah, I remember that. Really?
I want to wear that. I would like to wear that.
Do it.
That little feather crop.
Do it.
I need to find it online.
Let's find it for you.
Okay.
Anyone who sees the pink, furry, feathery, I don't know what kind of fur was it. If it was like a...
It was just feathers. It was like top, like light feathers. Yeah, but let's get that
with the high pony, though.
Yes, but I need everybody to understand that my budget is not Meredith, so less than $50 if you can find it.
And if you can make it yourself.
I can't.
I'm talking to the listeners.
Oh gosh, we shouldn't commission them.
We're commissioning them for our piece. I will make it for you.
Are you crafty?
No, but I can get some foil, paint it in like pink, and
my gosh, not foil.
Get some fabric.
I'll have to look. Pink.
Look, yeah.
I have to look up on some of these websites. I'm sure it's super trendy right now.
But, I also want a Brooks Marks sweatshirt jumpsuit.
We need to buy. Yeah, okay, yeah, fine. You get me the shirt. I'll buy you the Brooks Marks sweatshirt.
I think the Brooks Marks probably would be a little bit more expensive though. Because you can probably find that top anywhere. But yeah, we digress. But in this cover, it was a very cute moment though, because they all, Lisa's family came, her sons. Mm-hmm. And then we saw Meredith's family, Brooks, and then her daughter was named Chloe, I believe. I may be butchering mm-hmm. that completely up. And then her boyfriend, and
no,
it was
Chloe.
It was a very like sweet moment, and they were just reflecting over, her dad's like life and Meredith's like breakdown with her husband about just like, I mean, her, like, and it's like, having a family member that like goes through dementia is like such a hard place to be, because terrible. Like she was talking about how like he wasn't even like that present for some years and he's been sick. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, cause one time I remember that I had a grandfather, he passed away, I think when I was in sophomore in high school, and he had dementia as well. Mm-hmm. And it was mm-hmm. like insane, because it was like the first family member that close to me that passed away. And I remember we met him like for ice cream, and he only remembered my brother. And I was like, oh my gosh, like what the heck? So I can only imagine, like, you, I don't know if Meredith mm-hmm. like a daddy girl, but it doesn't matter. But like just having your father like mm-hmm. lose those memories of you, my heart goes out to her.
And I'm sure she thought, you know, cause I also lost my grandmother too. Like she had dementia.
Yeah.
And my mom took care of her for, all of her children did, but my mom was like her caregiver who would come over during the day for years. And everybody knew it was getting close to the end. And I think that everybody was just like, okay, like we're prepared, but nothing can ever really prepare you. I think it hit Meredith harder than she thought it was going mm-hmm. to, because, you know, she says like, I didn't realize how physically losing him was going to affect mm-hmm. me so much. But even if you have, you know, years of preparation and you feel like the person that you once knew is no longer there, it's still horrible, you know? And my heart really does go out to her. And Heather and Mary, you know, everybody who lost their fathers. It's so awful.
Oh, Jen lost her.
Jen lost her father multiple years ago. I just mean like within the last year, but obviously my heart goes out to Jen. Like that seems like a very traumatic thing for her as well. You know, to lose a parent is something I just can't imagine. And I'm sure turns your world
upside down.
Inside out, you know?
Honestly.
Oh my gosh. But, you know, did we get through it, Jacob? Did we get through our episode?
No, we didn't. We did not talk about the big fight that Meredith and got into, because it was mainly over the relationship that Lisa had with Jen. And we didn't really talk about that. We just kind of said like they were fighting and the kids are right there. And that's where we blocked it off.
Okay, yes, sorry.
But just a quick gloss over of that, because it was a very like tense moment. And Meredith, mm-hmm. as you know, Lisa thought, and I think Lisa is picking Jen. Like people can say, oh, is Lisa picking Jen? Like, is it really a picking situation in this? But I think mm-hmm. Lisa is aligning with Jen is because she thinks, oh, Jen is like that popular girl on this franchise, and she mm-hmm. wants to align with her because Jen has the scandals of like, you know, and everything. She's like the loud one, get involved in the drama, X, Y, and Z. And so I really think that's why Lisa is hitching
this
her
is
ride
such
onto
good
onto
insight
her.
From you.
I think
as somebody who doesn't really watch The Housewives, like I didn't even really think of that, but like now that makes sense that she's like a clout chaser.
I think she's a clout chaser. I genuinely, mm-hmm. but I honestly think, because I think this is going to be Meredith's come up season, and I think like mm-hmm. she may be back on that train. Who knows? But and so that's why I think Lisa coming into this season was really hard on the Jen train, even at the reunion, because they've seen the episodes and they've seen parts of Twitter, because the reunion films almost like 75% as the season is through. And so it's like, mm-hmm. I think three or four episodes left until the season is finally through. And I feel like mm-hmm. so she kind of can see, oh, Jen is getting like the spotlight. Jen is being like the mm-hmm. bad person to start this shit. And so I think that's why Lisa is hitching her ride onto Jen. But Meredith was very frustrated because Lisa, it was supposed to be her friend. And then she just mm-hmm. felt like she was not supporting her with like her disdain for Jen and talking about her family.
Yeah,
and so it was that relationship.
I do think that it's really interesting that Meredith, like Lisa saying, well, I didn't see, you know, what Jen did online. Yeah. Like I haven't seen it. And Meredith was like, well, I'll send you the screenshots. And Lisa was like, no, I don't want to see it.
Yeah.
Which if I was somebody's friend or if I was friends with somebody and somebody else was attacking me online and I was like, oh my gosh, I have to show you what they've done. And they were like, I don't want to see it. I would be so upset and hurt. That would hurt me so deeply. So I can imagine how Meredith feels, that she feels so betrayed by this woman who's been her friend for 10 years, you know?
Honestly, it's very disheartening. And I think Meredith is a very like loyal friend. And I feel like she doesn't want to throw away their relationship with Lisa, but they just didn't end on the best note on that episode. But Lisa will say, I love you. Come here. We're not going to let this like get in between us, but I feel like it may with everything. And Lisa. Okay. So also we talk about prophecy in this podcast. So we talked about Janet prophesying the jail time, clink, clink, bang, bang, doom, doom. And Meredith prophesied. She said, I don't know if she said this in her confessional or if she said this to Lisa, but she said, Jan needs to apologize to her family. And if she ever puts a finger in her face or swears at her again, she will never see her again. And as we see in the trailer, when they were in some type of trip, Jan gets into Meredith's face, points, swears, screams. And so it's just like the episode of prophecy and everything like that.
Oh my gosh, the trailer looks so explosive.
So good. So good.
Oh my gosh.
That last moment with Meredith closing the door. Who's calling who a fraud? Love you, baby. I die. It is so amazing.
Iconic. Yeah. And just like seeing her engage, right? Because she always says, I'm disengaging.
She's engaged.
And we are watching her just engage. It's so
fun
and awesome. Me either. And I can't believe we get to talk about it every week.
So exciting. So exciting.
Oh my God. So Jacob, did we do it?
I think we did it. This is our first podcast completion. Isn't that wild?
Yes. This is so awesome and exciting. Okay. So I do think like I would love to hear from people who are watching. If you want to tweet at me and Jacob after the episodes, like questions or things you want us to touch on, like, please do. We are here. We're ready. You can find me on Twitter at _MLMorgan.
Are you trying to decipher if you were blocked? I mean, were you private or unprivate?
I unprivated myself.
Okay, perfect.
I'll unprivate myself for Real Housewives. I don't think that anybody will care about me enough for Real Housewives. But I am at _MLMorgan and you are Jacob _Jones?
Jacob J _Jones.
Got
yes.
it. But please tweet us.
Yes. And Maggie, remember, I want you to write a tagline. I'm going to write one too.
Oh, yes.
And let's like get it together for our next week's show. And you can like go online and like look at all the other Housewives tagline for inspiration. Just don't steal any of them. But and that's what we should have our guests whenever we have like a guest. So we should have them like come up with a tagline too.
Oh, this
That'd
is so good.
Dope. That'd be so dope.
This is so good. Oh my gosh, you're so full of awesome podcast ideas. I can't believe how lucky I am that I get to podcast with you all season, Jacob.
I'm lucky. I'm so lucky. Literally, I'm so... You know what? Something else we should look at, too, is like they're like at the end, because at the end of their, like... At the end of every like recap, we could, because you know, some of the housewives go and watch what happens live and then they get to tweeting about it as well. And so I bet different relationships with Watch What Happens Live, they'll get on there, they're honest and unfiltered and they talk about the present day how they are. And so I feel like that would be also a good place to like kind of plug like some spoilers or some like whatever.
Ooh,
we can talk about that later,
but
yeah. That'd be awesome.
Yes. No, that sounds good. Like we can at the end do a little segment of like, okay, this is like the tea.
Yes. The tea
social.
Spillage. Yes. The tea spillage. Yes. Tea time.
Yeah. We can do tea time tea with time. Jacob and Maggie. Yes. Great. I love it.
Perfect.
I say that as though we're the first ever people to cover Bravo on a podcast and think of something like that. I'm like, we are geniuses.
Tea time. We're honestly amazing. We're icons in the making. We're influencers. We're trailblazers.
Yeah.
But yeah,
we're
I
ready.
Had a blast.
I'm such a good influencer, Jacob. I was trying to figure out if my Twitter was on private.
I know, right? Literally.
No, I had literally the best time talking to you. I can't wait until we get to come back next week. I'm so glad Rob has given us the keys. I hope we've done a good job cleaning up the house. I got out my Swiffer. You know, we did everything we needed to do today.
Yes. Things got messy.
Things did get a little messy, but I do feel like we cleaned it up a little bit. And I can't wait to talk to you next week.
You must say never. I can't wait to talk to you never.
No.
I know, same.
I got nervous because I realized I'm going to have to end the podcast.
Oh, yes. Let's end.
Okay. Bye, guys. We'll see you next
week. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Hello, Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.